How are you? I'm great. This is Winning at Life, your wallet's favorite show. You know, things are going good. You know what? They're going to get better. We're going to talk about your feelings about next week. I'm like, every meeting I'm getting this question. What is the election going to do to my money? We're talking about that tonight. Call your friends, text them, tell them to join Winning at Life. Hey, the nation, download the app. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks.
Citizenship is absolutely free to the Winning at Life Nation. You just have to download the app. You don't have to walk 1,000 miles. You don't have to legally cross the border. You have to put in like a login one time, and that's all we ask. There's no waiting list. I'm your co-host, James Parker, 504-260-0995. Also coming up, the IRS has increased the retirement contribution limits for next year. We will let you know what those new limits are. It's just something we cover about this time every year on the show, and it's time to do the house cleaning again this year, so I'll let you know for your 401k, 403b, 457, TSP, how much your contribution limits are going to go up for next year. And an IRA, you folks, you're going to get an increase for the first time since 2013. But I want to start where you're starting, and that's the question that I'm getting everywhere I go to is, how is this election going to affect your money? And so I want to start by doing something kind of cool here. You were asked to be a guest on a radio show yesterday on the Super Talk Mississippi Network called the Gallo Show. And guess what came up?
Yeah, Tuesday.
And
Election Day.
And I know this audience didn't get to hear that, so we're going to go over a little bit of that real quick. So I want to point out, just in this little clip here, when you talk about market symmetry, I want you to teach me what you're doing here, because you stumbled onto something that I don't think we've specifically gone over before, but this whole minute of audio is really going to set the stage.
Your view of following this volatile Wall Street, Gregory Ricks is my guest. Go ahead, Rick.
As far as what's going on with the market, you know, we're seeing the interest rate effect, tariffs, some uncertainty going into the elections. And that's one of the things that bothers the markets the most is uncertainty. Your friend Bobby Moak, guest that was on yesterday, if they win the House, he's going to be really happy, but everybody else is going to be unhappy probably about their 401ks and retirement accounts, because what that does is create some uncertainty. We'll probably have more pullback and find a new bottom. So when we look back at the downturn in February, we had about a 344-point decline on the S&P 500, and we've had a recent decline of 344 points as well. So we've created time and symmetry there, and looks like we're having another up day. What's important, we have to break through 2715 and 2739 are levels of resistance to sustain this rally.
Okay, so the part that caught my interest here is you went back and you pulled out a long chart, and you mentioned that they're making a little bit of symmetry from the downturn that we had. What is that, like the last couple of days of January?
Watch this. No, it was in February. You see where I'm holding the paper and seeing the bottom to the top right there? I'm gonna do a fold.
Describe what
so
you're doing.
You can actually, I'm seeing a chart here, and what I'm looking at is back on February when we had the last pullback, and look at that length. Now I'm going over here to the current pullback where the bottom was that we hit 2 days ago, and does that not look the same length? It is, because actually technically, we had on that pullback, we had on the S&P 500, 344 and three quarter points drop versus 344 on this last one. So it's slightly less, but look, and when I speak of time.
And you're on the S&P? And
S&P 500, when I speak of time and symmetry, the intervals are matching up. Now, it didn't end the volatility, but ultimately the market climbed back up and created higher highs. What have we got since there? I could expect more volatility, but look at what we've got right there on the chart, that pull up where we've had three up days now. In October, how many back-to-back up days did we have?
Two.
None.
No, we didn't. We never had 1 3-day period of back-to-back up
days. Right, until the end of the month, right. We had two up days in a row. Otherwise, we didn't have that the whole month. Now we've had three up days, so it's carried over. But does that mean this continues? I think it continues till Monday's probably not going to be a pretty day, if I had to guess. Cloudy, rainy.
Really?
I'm not talking about the weather. Unexpectations for Tuesday? Is there caution or bullishness? I think there's caution. So it's, do you believe the polls or do you believe the polls are skewed when it comes to Monday and Tuesday? We're not knowing until after market closes how this thing ends up. And then we could have more down on Wednesday or a rally on Wednesday. And that reflects, to me, it reflects volatility is likely coming here shortly. Does that necessarily have to match up? No, but this top to bottom means a lot. So it doesn't mean this is all going to repeat, but that gave confidence that we struck a bottom right here, beginning of the week, and then the markets moved up and it matches up with February as well. So what you look for, repetition in the market. Now on the climb up, here on the slope up where we're going from, say, June through middle of September, what did you have? You had upward momentum. You had higher highs, higher lows. Remember, the market always moves up and down. It's not a straight line ever. But what you had is momentum, higher highs, higher lows until it broke down. And then you see what was the bottom here? And there it broke down. See right there?
Yeah.
That should told you pain is coming.
Okay. So
now I know listeners all seeing this, you have no idea. And you might not understand if you were seeing it. With that said, that's what I get paid to do, is watch all this stuff, figure this stuff out, and see where we're going on a daily basis.
All right. Now let me tell the guy listening something he doesn't know. You said that sound clip was from yesterday morning before the market opened. Now, what we had, the setting of when you said that, was we had about a 20% or so dip. We had one positive day, which was Tuesday, and the question was asked, is this a bottom? Is this going to keep going up, or is this just a stop on the way down? You mentioned the symmetry thing, and you say if the symmetry holds, then we're due for a couple of up days. We just had a couple of up days after that, so I think the symmetry thing is right
so
on.
So is that what I said that
yeah,
day?
That's exactly.
Couple up days.
Yeah, that's what's so cool about the soundbite. That's why I want to play it today, is because your symmetry theory played out perfectly on the S&P chart. Now, the Dow's a little messy because it's so heavily weighted in what one or two companies can do it. I would
understand. Well, you know, that's why I'm a big fan of the S&P 500. And we've talked, you questioned me years ago about this when we started working together on the show, is it gives you a much broader look of what's going on.
All right, so that's that was something that went down on the interview with Super Talk. Another question is probably something we get, this isn't the top question we get, but it's in the top five. Everywhere you go, Gregory, you get asked this.
We get bombarded with people like William Devane, who probably will be pitching this thing 10 years after he's dead, but we get bombarded with the silver and gold stuff. And what's your advice to investors?
Silver and gold care about elections?
It does not care one bit.
Yeah, and I don't want to get into the numbers segment, but for the new guy who's just stumbling on the show, just give him a general take here.
I had a meeting with a review with a client that held a good bit of gold, and he sold off about 50% of it, and it was a discussion actually we had where he was talking about a daughter wants to acquire or start a business, and we had a discussion about loaning family money, and I gave him an idea of, instead of loaning it, buy a stake in her business. If it goes well, you get rewarded. Versus loaning it is, gosh, if you loan it, it's like giving. Don't expect it back. But if you take a stake in a business, it's with the good and bad. It may not come back to you, but there could be an upside to it, and it's just viewed completely differently. And he actually thanked me for the advice today that I gave him a year ago. And he said, yeah, and actually the business is doing really good. I'm going to start getting to share in some of the growth of that business. He said, it's great advice. I said, well, awesome. That's going to make for a good Thanksgiving this year. And he said, yeah, and they're joining us for Thanksgiving as well. So he had sold off some of his gold, and I commented, well, it turned out that was a good time to sell gold because it's even lower today than it was a year ago. And he said, yeah, it was a good time to sell half of that stake of gold. And the gold salesman says, no, don't sell it. Buy more. It's going to 10,000. Well, how long are we going to hear that? First, I don't know how they get away with it. To begin with, it's just like, it's ridiculous. What's that dividend on gold, James? Did you check it today? Did it go up or not? You know, before you answer, you know, GE used to have what, 5-6, had a ridiculous dividend, and now it's a penny a share. So that isn't even a percentage. It's a fraction now. So
to be fair, gold's right behind that. It is just one penny smaller than GE's dividend. It is at zero.
Zero. Yeah, and actually, it's always been that way. So I guess everything has to go completely to hell for gold to take off, because we've seen it flounder, and it is below where it was 6 months ago, and it's below where it was a year ago. And what, silver's way off from where it started 8 years ago when we did the show.
They're still running the commercials, though.
Yeah. So here, I'm not a buyer of gold or silver unless it shows a breakout and our signals tell us it's a buy. And then we'll participate in that until our signals say, run for the hills. Well, what signals telling us that it's going down and we need to get away from it. What do you mean your signal? Well, it's the same way whether buying or selling Apple or buying or selling IBM. It needs to be going up. If I'm buying, if I'm selling, I'm getting away from a problem coming.
504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We're winning it live with Gregory Ricks.
Hey, y'all. Welcome back. Winning it live. That racing song.
Is this a racing song? It's a racing video.
A video to the song it is. I like it. Go fast. Hey, I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. You're listening to Winning at Life. This is the Daily Wrap Live Financial Talk Radio. Are you ready for the... hold on. You listening? Get the phone. Make the call. 504-260-0995. You can join the conversation. I'm looking for a key question. What are your concerns right here, right now, about next week, next month, next year? Anybody have any concerns? Is it about the market, your retirement, where I'm at? I had a conversation today with a family. She's worked for this company for decades, and she's trained probably, I don't know, a lot of people. And then now it's time for the job. Oh, your job's ending. James, your job is ending end of the year.
That's scary stuff.
Here, since I just did that to you, what would you ask? Say, your position is ending the end of the year.
Am I getting another position?
Yeah, that's what I think.
Right.
But this end of it was left at that. Is your position is in it. Well, what does that mean? Where are you moving me to?
Yeah. Or, you know, all this productivity, all this money I'm making you, you're just going to let all that go, or what's happening?
Yeah, it was just interesting because that's be my question. I said, well, where am I moving to then? I guess here's what the individual said to me is, well, maybe they're hoping I'm going to retire, but I got news. I'm not.
So you're going to get canned?
Well, that is the big question, you know? So of course we were looking at retirement in a couple years. Well, that might be and I don't think they're accepting retirement, this individual. However, it did create some discussion that we ran scenarios in the guided planning system of what if that is January, you know, just looking, you know, it's all good, but that's not what they're ready for yet. So, you know, that's the world we're in. And gosh, every meeting today, Wednesday, and Tuesday, and heck, it goes into last week, is what is going to happen on election day?
You want me to run through the scenarios?
Let's, you know, had we cleaned up everything from the last break, we were good there.
Well, I wanted to do a couple more clips, but they're on a different subject. So we may do that tomorrow, or we okay, may do that.
But we're good for the show today on what we were covering in the first section.
No, right? I want to continue with that.
Well, because, we can.
Because what we're doing is how is this going to affect your money?
So, well, let's do.
All right. I want to go down the different scenarios. First scenario is the House stays with the R, Senate stays R. Of course, White House is going to stay R. So you have the monolithic government. However, one big change happens. If there's a route, there's a small chance the Republicans could pick up a filibuster-proof majority in the Senate. They flip two seats and they win all the toss-ups. That could happen. Now, that's the least likely thing that could happen. That's why we're starting with it first. But what happens to your money? How would Wall Street look at that? Oh, my goodness, they have a filibuster-proof majority. So any of this tax reform stuff they want to do goes through.
I think that's a possibility. It's unlikely. I think it's a possibility in the Senate.
Well, I think it's a possibility they'll pick up a couple of seats, but they would have to run the table to get up to 60 because they're at 52 right now. So they would have to win all six of the toss-ups and flip two solid blues. So it's tough, but it's there.
Let's see. This is 2018. We go back to November of 2016. Yeah, blue states. Bulletproof.
Good point.
Teflon. And what happened?
Okay.
They got flipped. Shocked the world. There you go.
Okay. So markets, they go up, they go down, they go sideways. What happens to these guys?
Markets go up.
All right. Let's do Republicans keep the House. They keep the Senate, but not a filibuster-proof majority. White House obviously going to stay the same.
Markets waiting on interest rates, markets waiting on China. We probably have a continuation of the rally we're starting right now. And the market probably maybe even finds a new top. I don't know that we quite go there because we still have the interest rate hike coming and tariffs, but we have a continuation of this rally.
Well, that sounds like it's really baked in the cake there. Okay. House flips Democrat, Senate stays Republican. What happens then?
Market goes sideways, maybe even pulls back, finds that bottom again.
Is there any difference if market...
And you're speaking of the Dems winning the House.
Yes. If the House stays Republican, but the Senate goes Democrat, same thing.
How would the Senate go Democrat? That's like, you're asking me a question that's not possible.
Well, it's definitely possible, but you seem to be pretty confident.
Well, you know, what was that last scenario? Both houses go?
No, the one we did first was the Democrat has the House and the Republicans have the Senate, or what if the Republicans keep the House, but the Democrats get the Senate?
I've never heard that scenario. I don't think it's a good one.
What if Democrats get both
houses?
It's
ugly. It's ugly next 2 years. It is.
You have a very serious look on your face.
Yeah, that's an ugly situation for this country the next 2 years. It really is. I really wouldn't want to go there. You have everything going so well, and that's like what happened to Merkel in Germany. Basically, her party didn't win the elections. So she announced that afterwards, and you've seen this happen in Britain many times, is I'm not going for re-election because they know they're done. That they were basically disapproved by everybody. So that's a total disapproval. Plus, they go after the president to end his term early. Yeah, and they're going after unwinding the tax breaks. Or you're seeing taxes go up. Yeah, it's there won't be a wall. All the stuff you were hoping for to get done and fixed, you know, it's creating uncertainty. The market does not like uncertainty, and that's what you just created. So that's kind of like your worst case scenario. They lose the House and the Senate. I think uncertainty comes if they win the House and lose the Senate. I think we have certainty if they win the House and the GOP keeps the Senate. That's more certainty because there's no one can really accomplish anything that's going to impact where we're at. And President Trump can do as Obama did when he had the couldn't do anything.
The gridlock, right?
Yeah, had the gridlock, which we're certain that we're at gridlock. But he could use that pen. And Trump just picked up where he left off. And that was when we, and the Dems love that back down the road. Oh, this is great. Until somebody else gets the pen, it's a scary thing. And for them, Trump having the pen is a scary thing. And if we have GOP controlling both houses, House and the Senate, and of course the president is going to stay in, we're going to have a bit more business-like atmosphere, and there'll be more deregulation and work towards creating a GDP that can support deficit spending, not just go, but it's, you got to get about fixing that. You've got a lot of things to fix, but you have certainty on that side of where things are headed. And once again, blue House, red Senate, certainty, because we're at stalemate. Other scenarios are problematic.
Let's throw this one out there then. Tomorrow's jobs report is going to be the last big piece of economic information the voters are going to have sticking in their head but when they walk into the ballot box on Tuesday. How important is the number we get? And what do they do it at, like 7:30 in the morning? This is the, yeah, this will be the unemployment number for October. Am I putting too much weight in this? Because I think it weighs more this time than it does in regular elections. I think so much is already baked in the cake by the time you get to this point most times. But for some reason this time, I think tomorrow's report is going to be huge.
I don't know what they're expecting, but we're going to have a lot of people going to work. Look, what I'm seeing is manufacturing is expanding, jobs are expanding. We've got more jobs open than people to fill them. What kind of awesome problem is that? But, you know, I was told today, and you know what? I'm going to tell you this when I come back from the break because this needs more than 5 seconds.
I'm James Parker. We're Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Now that I can fix a drink, pour it on ice,
mix it on up and get you feeling right. Welcome back. I can get you buzzed, I can get you smiling, I can make you feel like. Might need a drink Tuesday evening, huh? Big Ice. Could be a Blanton's bourbon.
It could be a celebratory drink.
Take in the
numbers.
It could, I'd like it to be celebratory.
It could be a medicinal therapeutic drink.
You know, here, if you want my I'm Gregory Rex, host of Winning at Life. We've been doing this show, if you don't know, over 8 years now. Live financial talk radio. And, you know, I'd like it to be only money, but this is a geopolitical war. We have to look at politics globally. We have to look at politics nationally. We have to look at the Fed. We have to look at earnings. There's a lot going on that we have to take in consideration. Yeah, bottom line, earnings, growth of earnings make stocks go up. But you have a lot of things that rattle the market because a core thing for the market is certainty. We don't like instability. Tuesday's a big day. Election day comes up. You know what I'm voting for? Pro-business. I'm pro-growth. I'm pro letting businesses get out there and grow and create jobs. Some think the government should be in charge of jobs and earnings and control who does well and who doesn't. I'm kind of business sets the market. The markets dictate. If your company's doing a horrible job, poor customer service, you know what? The market is going to take care of you. What is the market? It's the people making decisions to buy or sell. And if you're a business, it's people making decisions to buy your product or not. I don't have a lot of tolerance for poor service of any kind. I don't have a lot of tolerance for lines. Maybe your business is really rocking it. Now there's long lines to get that. Well, you better fix that quick. Because we'll move on. I don't have time to wait. That brings me another topic that we're probably, and I'm not sure where we are on the schedule, but upcoming show next week, there's one thing that millionaires understand that others don't. And we're going to talk about that. And it has to do with time. So just kind of put that in your little pocket right there. And remember that we'll give you more information on when that subject is coming up. But yeah, I'm voting pro-business, and that's how I hope others vote more of next week. And when we have elections again, I want to go pro-business because we need the jobs coming back here. We need to take a stand with China. And everybody's, oh, don't do tariffs. Don't do tariffs. It's always going to be ugly. Well, guess who's just a tick above contractional manufacturing? China. Whose market is a train wreck? China. Who's getting friendly with Trump all of a sudden again? China. And I'll tell you this, Trump is not going to cave. Why? They're going to come to the table and they're going to do some deals. And if they don't, here's my take. And I've said this before. And when I have time on my show, when I guest on other shows, I don't always have this time to express this, but why are we doing business with China? Why did it shift? And who did we do before? And let me ask you this, hold it. Don't answer that question yet. Go back to this. Who was the big manufacturer a few decades back before China that annoyed me back then? Made in Japan.
Japan.
Yeah. Now everything's made in China. And why are we doing that with China? Well, they make it for less. Yeah. And they steal everything and duplicate it. They're not anywhere fair about it. You've got more true markets in Japan. China, true credit markets? No. They devalue their dollar when needed to stay competitive, but they're not true markets. And if they can't build it for with the tariffs and all, they don't come to the table. And let's say for that widget, it costs $120 to buy from that. Now it costs $120 here. if I have a choice, if somebody said, well, yeah, I want to build, I'm starting up a factory up in Macomb, Mississippi, for example. We're going to build the widgets. What are you going to charge? $120. And let's see, what's Japan charging? $120. Okay, I'm going to buy them from the guy in Macomb. But we've got another continent out there. Oh, North Korea might actually want to get into the widget building business instead of nukes, which would be more profitable, better for his widgets. Okay, he might do them for $109. Okay, he gets the business. That's the way the market dictates things. So if they don't want to play fair, good luck to you and see you. So that's what we're talking about business when you've got lower taxes, economy growing, jobs, and you can ignore that. But also you can't sit on the sidelines. You might need to get a book. You might need to go take an online course and get up to speed on that. But things are happening like they haven't in a long time. So that's what I hope for. And our discussion that we were having on the previous break is scenarios of what's going to happen. And you know what? It's your decision. It's not mine. I know what my decision is. You decide what you think is best and what you need. And you need to really search deep in there. And then you vote what you think you should do. And we'll see how it all ends up and we'll adjust. Because you know what we have to do no matter what, as far as money, accumulation, and building? It doesn't matter who's in charge in Congress and president. We still have to look out for our stuff at the end of the day. It may change how we go about it starting next Wednesday, but then that's what we'll adapt to. Me, I'm voting for growth.
I remember the mantras that we've had over the last two presidential elections, because that's how long this show's been on. And when 2012 rolled around, your saying was, listen, I made money under George W. Bush. I made money under Obama. I'll make money whether or not Romney wins or Obama wins. And then 4 years later, we said the same thing. I'll make money. We're all going to make money, whether or not Trump wins or whether or not Hillary wins. We're going to make money. We'll just have to change a little bit of a couple of crossing T's and dotting I's here and there, but we're making money.
Yeah. And look, there's going to be pain coming. You know, Social Security has some issues. There's going to be some tax adjustments there. We have deficit spending. That's going to have to be dialed back. Trump's already gone to his cabinet and said, y'all have got to reduce budgets next year.
Let me ask you this. What are your clients saying? Because people don't know, but so many of your clients are business owners or they're guys that are high up in the business world, like people who are in charge of stuff. What are they going to do based on the election? Are they saying anything?
No, they're wanting red. They're wanting the GOP to continue leading the House and the Senate. And of course, the president at least has two more years. So what we're kind of saying, we need this to go two more years and then revisit this. You know, that's the consensus of what I'm getting throughout every day. I don't go asking, start out a meeting, okay, well, let's talk about politics today. No, we always start out talking about money. But what I always do in a meeting is, do you have any questions for me today? And what would make this a really good meeting for you today? That's kind of the two things. I want to address what they're wanting to hear, ask, and I want to make sure this is a really good outcome. What are they looking to accomplish there? And then that's where we headed. Now, I may have some things I want to show them and such, and yeah, I have a few things, but this meeting isn't about me. It's about them and their money. And I might have a few things on the agenda, but they definitely do, and we want to hear it. And they're asking me, and what they're wanting me to tell them is, this is going to be fine. The House is going to stay red. The Senate's going to stay red. And of course, we know the president's there for two more years, especially if those two things happen. That's what they're looking for, is they're kind of like, okay, Gregory thinks, okay, things are going to be good next week. That's what they're hoping for. And I get it. It's every meeting, every day now.
For about six more days. All right. If you have a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, call Gregory, Hall of Fame financial advisor here, ready to take your question, 504-260-0995. Or you can give us a call or send us a text from the Winning at Life app. Go download that. It's absolutely free in your app store. You can also RSVP for the next Gregory Ricks Live. It's coming up November 14th. Coming up next, the numbers. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Welcome back. On your lips, on your kiss, Winning at Life. On your time, hey, we do this every evening, 7 o'clock. Yes, live Financial Talk Radio. Tune us in and there's a basketball game going on. Well, then jump over to the stream. What's the easy way to do that? Through the Winning at Life app. Oh, you can pick up our podcasts. And there's a couple other streams that we're on for some of our shows as well. How do you get it? Go to your app store, download, free download, one-time login. You should stay, it should keep you permanently logged in, but hey, if you have a problem, just email it. We'll reset it for you and hook you right back up real quick. Don't let like that something stop you from utilizing your wallet's favorite app. So get the phone, make the call, join the show. We've got a few minutes left. We're here till almost top of the hour, 504-260-0995. We're going to cover the number segment here, but James promised you something earlier and contribution changes to for qualified money.
Yes, the IRS.
In 2019.
The IRS has increased the contribution limits for retirement accounts for 2019. That's the headline, but when you look at the fine print here, contribution limits for employees who participate in a 401k, 403b, 457 plans, if you're on the government's TSP, Thrift Savings Plan, they are all increasing in unison. The limit this year is $18,500. For 2019, it will be $19,000 even.
That's awesome. That's not changed in a while.
Well, here's where it starts to get a little funky. The annual limit on IRA contributions hadn't increased since 2013. They're getting raised next year to $6,000. This year it's $5,500. Heck, it's been that for half a decade.
It is. It's about time.
Well, now here's where it stinks, Gregory. The catch-up contribution limit for employees 50 years or older using these accounts remains unchanged at $6,000.
But overall, everybody's getting that $500 bump.
Oh, you know what? That's a much more positive. That's a glass half full fella right there.
Yeah, it's actually a benefit for everybody because at the base, you get to put in more. Yeah, the catch-up's the same, but the base, you get to put in more. And that's big on the 401k increasing again. Save up to $19,000. Yeah.
Now, the report I'm referencing here from foxbusiness.com, there's a lot of other things it covers.
I'm sorry. Stop right there.
Sure.
You know, because they would say, y'all favor the seniors, you know, those people over 50. You know, why not help us all? What if they had just increased the catch-up and not the other? So, there's elder bias. The government doesn't want to be accused of that.
Ageism.
So the base increase is actually for everybody. So it's a win-win.
Yeah. So it's not ageist. I'm not.
The
I'm not
ages.
A, yeah.
For right. The ages.
Let me just throw out some stats here before the numbers. Nearly half of all Americans, this is a recent study by Fidelity. You've heard of Fidelity, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Nearly half of all Americans, 48%, don't think their retirement savings will ever reach $1 million.
They don't.
No.
They need to listen to this show because you can do it. You will do it. You should do it. We'll talk about how.
And then in this article from foxbusiness.com,
that should be the goal.
Oh yeah. $1 million. That's If you're just getting started now, if you're 5 years from retirement, maybe not. But yeah, for the most of us,
time is an issue.
Now, this article also referenced an analysis from, I never heard of this place, the Boston College Center for Retirement Research, and they were asked to do a ballpark. This is just a ballpark, but how much of an individual's income belonging to different age groups would you need to save each year to reach salary replacement of 70%? For those retiring at age 67, full retirement age. This is ballpark. If you're starting to save at age 25, you would need to stash away about 10%. If you wait until 35, it has to be about 15% of your annual income. At 45, it goes to 27%, which is huge. So that's cool. We get asked that a lot. It's so hard to ballpark that number, and I wouldn't use this for anything practical going forward, but it's just fun to see what they broke down in that analysis. 27% of your income needs to be saved if you wait until 45 to start saving. Scary number. All right, all that aside, ready for numbers?
The number.
Welcome to the number segment on Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks. This is where we give you a snapshot of what happened in the financial world while you were out winning it live today. Follow along on the exact same charts and graphs. Go to winningitlife.com or the Winning It Live app. And it was another positive day. That's three in a row. We didn't have that through all of October here. So Dow Jones was up 1.1%, S&P up 1.1%, NASDAQ up 1.75%, and the Russell, the little guys, were up more than 2% today.
10-year treasuries ticked up a little bit more. 2/32nds were at 3.141%. Crude oil, $63.54. You know, inventories are continuing to increase. There's these folks out in the Midwest. They're just like working hard, fracking and whatever. There's plenty of stuff. They're getting after it.
So. Oil has gone down. What is this? Like $13 in the last 3 weeks.
Well, we talked. Well, let's go back. I'm going to pull up the chart real quick here. We had talked about, and I'm going to go back to a 3-month chart here. And we were looking at in October 3rd, you know, so you'll remember this for next year. My birthday was October 3rd. And
wait, what's on October 3rd?
My birthday. Okay. And $76.24. Yeah. And now we're at $63.54. Let's see. Year to date, was there any higher point? No, that was it. That's the highest point of the year. And that was enough for them to say, look, boys, get to work.
Yeah, that's the highest it had been since 2014. I just memorized that without scooting out the chart.
Yeah, let's look. Okay, I'll hit it. 3-year chart. And there we are. Yeah. What? How about that? Okay. So yeah, crude inventories are increasing, which drops oil. So, you know, maybe folks aren't driving as much that summer's over, but those guys are at work making that oil for the rest of us out there. Brent crude. Look at the gap has narrowed a little bit more, $72.85 a barrel. Gold, $1,234.40. Silver, $14.75. I'll just tell you, over a few days, past few days, yeah, it's up a little. It's up almost, nothing to write home about.
What, 80 cents. Okay, so going into the short sheet and looking at what some of our blue chip companies are doing, did you see this one? Whirlpool sent a letter to Sears asking that the retailer return items it had recently ordered from Whirlpool in the 45 days leading up to the bankruptcy filing on October 15th. They're like, yeah, you know, those dishwashers, washing machines,
fridges.
Yeah, we're going to need those back. You ordered from us knowing damn well you weren't going to pay us. So can we just go ahead and slap those on a truck and
bring them back?
Yeah. So a spokesperson.
If not, we've got some empty tractor trailers. We're headed your way tomorrow.
Yeah. Give us a deal.
Put the stuff on the dock. We're coming back to get it.
A spokesperson for Sears declined to comment. Can you believe that?
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know how that's going to work out for
what
them.
What a horrible ripple effect.
Well,
if I ordered some tools from them tomorrow, will they send them to me? Or just, I'm sure not paying with check or cash. I'm doing it with one of those credit cards that will reverse it back on them, that if they don't send me my stuff I ordered.
Oh, yeah. That's a good way to handle it.
Yeah. Yeah. We're not playing that game. I hate that for Whirlpool and others, but we see that happen often.
Talk about your live event coming up the 14th.
Whew, we got a fun event coming up. Wine, wisdom, and food. We're doing a wine and food pairing. We're going to pair all that with some financial wisdom, give you some ideas about building multiple streams of income. How about creating tax-free income? Have I got a story to tell you on another upcoming show next week about creating, taking a pension buyout, lump sum, and turning it into a bunch of tax-free income that we will put the money in, have three times the cash flow out tax-free. You've got to hear that story. But if you want to attend that event, it's coming up on November the 14th. We don't have many seats left. You need to call like now, leave a message. The phone number is 504-832-9200, gregoryricks.com. And look, you can use both of those if you just say, hey, I want to get in before the 14th. I want to talk about what's going on. Call us.
All right. And this is our last live event of 2018. So jump on it, please. You're home away from the show where you can catch our podcast, watch us live, connect to the Total Wealth Authority, all that good stuff. WinningItLife.com and the Winning It Life app. I'm James Parker. We are Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks.
Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks is for educational and entertainment purposes only and does not recommend the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Gregory Ricks is an investment advisor representative with Global Financial Private Capital. Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks is a copyright of Down South Strategies for the private use of our audience. Find podcasts and contact info in the Winning It Life app and winningitlife.com. We are Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks.